Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Comrade Chair. You will give us bonuses to make us weak.
Recording in progress.
Yes, we will do that. We short of two people. Van has joined. We need one. Now we are forming a forum. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you back, honorable members, and request that we observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer as we continue to pray for our country, that we must be able to work together and fight this pandemic that is ravaging our country. Now we are on the third wave, and we want to pass condolences to families that have lost their loved ones, including the sector. We know that CDBank, they've lost the CE, and our condolences to the chair and the team. We know it's not a very easy thing. Can we observe a moment of silence as we remember those that have passed on and those that are hospitalized? Thank you very much.
Chair, you are forgetting a very important thing. The country is burning, and you are not saying we must pray for the country as well.
We must say no to the looting, and I agree with you. We must pray for the soldiers and police to arrest the looters and put them behind bars. South Africa should remain the peaceful country and resolve our issues in the manner that befitting this nation. We have the capacity to talk to one another as South Africans. So violence, no violence. We should condemn it. I agree, Honorable Masala.
And it must not only be regarded as looting when it's done by the poor civilians. When it is done by us as well as politicians, it must be a looting. It must be regarded as such.
We are part of the people, and as long as a mistake that we must never do is to separate ourselves from the people. When we say people, we're including ourselves, because you might find that there are politicians there who are looting. Unfortunately, we are in the meeting, cannot join them, those looters. I'm just saying that we should, when I'm saying people, we are including ourselves. Everybody, looting is not acceptable. That's why we encourage those that have got powers to arrest those that loot. Can we then proceed to receive apologies? Koliswa?
Hello, Chair. I've received an apology from Mr. August, even earlier on, her secretary submitted an apology for today's meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, colleagues. there's our agenda. Can we move for the adoption of the agenda as presented to us?
I move, Chair. Zeke.
Zeke move. Can I get the seconder?
Nancy, second.
Nancy, second. Thank you very much. Mr. Basson, you are so quiet. Mr. Basson?
I'm listening to you guys. Thank you.
Well, I only need to speak
voice. Why are you a listener?
You are missing your voice, man.
Just say hi.
Yes. He must treat us properly. We want to hear his voice.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, man. I'm still well, and I'm hiding from COVID.
Oh,
please keep safe.
Get vaccinated.
I've already vaccinated. I'm waiting for my second one.
Oh, okay. All right. Take care.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I think the older people are luckier.
Okay, let's proceed, honorable members. Let me take the opportunity, DM, to welcome yourself and the department and the water board that have joined us. We are going to consider the annual report from Hlathuzi Water Board, the Overberg Water Board, and Sidibeng Water Board. And we should emphasize that please let's respect time. DM, we rely on you to direct your team to respect time. Please.
and we'll remind you if you are not keeping your time. But we'll ask the first presentation, if Kodiswa, we do have the co-sharing. Umhlathuze Water Board, Umamshani can start, introduce the team and just do a remarks in about 2-4 minutes. And then the acting CE, that they take the non-financial information and the performance information, including the financial information. This is what is most important. With your permission, Chair, I will hand over to Umamshang, and then we'll start monitoring the issues of time. But this, that will be their presentation. Thank you. Then they'll be followed by over back Mr. Benjamin and Sheng, and then you will follow after that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. I'm from Hlathuze Water, and I'm leading the team led by Mr. Swaswan Tloro, who is the acting CE because our CE is on leave. Babongile Mnyandu, who is our CFO, Stefan Botha, who is Strategy and Business Development. So that those...
Sorry, Chairperson, can we ask members to show their faces, please, for the camera?
Ma'am Shani, let's just show the face when we start for just about 30 seconds, then we can proceed.
I'm just from monitoring where I am. I don't know whether you can see me. I'm just from monitoring the residence thing, so it was very cold outside. I don't know whether I'm visible.
Yes, now we see you.
Okay, thank you very much. So I can switch off the camera. We have been monitoring the neighborhood, and it has been successful so far. So it was very cold outside. Thank you very much. So I have just introduced my team, which is the Mr. Swaswan Tloro, who is the acting CE, because our CE is on leave. Ms. Babongi Lemnyandu, who is our CFO, and Mr. Stefan Botha, who is Strategy and Business Development Manager. So that's the team that I'm with, and I'm going to therefore now hand over to the acting CE to make sure that he leads us in this presentation. Thank you. I appreciate that at least we have been able to come and we have been able to be available. And thank you for the invite.
Thank you, Shalo. Greetings to the DM, the chairperson of the committee and members. I am not sure.
Just show your face then before you switch it off.
Okay. DM, I wanted to do a disclaimer before I show my face because I didn't expect to be seen, so my dress code might not be appropriate. But this is how I look in real life. Chair, we are going to briefly take you through
CE, you knew that you were going to address the portfolio committee, Mr.
I knew Shalo, but I thought I did not anticipate that I would be shown on video. So I did not put my makeup and everything, so I really apologize. We are okay. Thank you.
Proceed, we are going to find you.
Noted, sir. We are going to briefly take you through our presentation, sharing our vision, our mission, our mandate, and we're going to spend...
Remember, Bamtol, you have 25 minutes left.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then we're going to spend a bit of time on the operational performance and financial performance. So My colleague, Mr. Stefan Guerta, will then deal with the details, DM and Shalo and the members. Thank you. Stefan?
Thank you, Chair. I'm slightly better prepared to be on video, I suppose. But if I could just ask the Secretariat to enable sharing of the screen, then I can share the presentation, please.
You are safe now, Stefan?
No, it still says host disabled participating from sharing the screen, so I cannot share the screen.
No, you are a co-host now, you can share a screen.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
I'm sharing the screen, is it visible, Chair?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'll start the presentation by just going to the vision. I'm not going to waste a lot of time on the vision. I think it's self-explanatory in the documentation in front of the committee. The mission is also self-explanatory. It's just for information purposes. And then the general information and mandate of the board of Umhlatuze Water. The minister appointed the board on a 4-year term on 5 December 2018, so this is the third year in office. Just to give a bit of background on the governance program that relates to the annual report and the business plan, Umhlatuze Water submitted its business plan and the 1920 financial year specifically on May 19th to the department, which was in compliance with the requirements. And then it also submitted the annual report as required by law on the 30th of October 2020 amidst the COVID-19 challenges, but the entity managed to submit its annual report on time with no extensions whatsoever. The result of the audit, Chairperson, was that it was a clean audit with no findings on either financial, legal or non-financial matters. The slide presented to the committee is just a bit of history to show where the entity came from, two qualified audits preceding an unqualified audit in 1819 and then a clean audit in 1920. The percentage board attendance was 84% during the year, and the table there also this show the attendance of members throughout the year. Some of the governance structures in place in Umhlatuze Water, the minister as the executive authority governed by the Department of Water and Sanitation, there's the board itself, and then there are a number of board committees, which is audit and risk, finance, human resources and remuneration, social and ethics, and service delivery. And then there's the executive committee headed up by the chief executive, and underneath there are a number of management committees that operate. There are also certain governance structures on the right, which is internal audit and control, risk management, declarations of interest and code of conduct that governs the organization in keeping it honest. Just a race profile of the entity and gender profile. We are sort of half-half male-female split. And then the race profile, you'll see representing the profile of South Africa as it is there. Chair, overall performance for the year ending June 2019 was at 66%. June 2020 was at 66%. On the shareholder agreement specifically, performance was slightly better. The areas of underperformance, one cannot really ascribe it to COVID-19. There were a few targets that were affected by COVID-19, but they were in the minority. Largely, the areas of underperformance was around budget expenditure and completing projects. Like I said, it's not really COVID related. It's because the organization went through a bit of a period where it had a lull in its capacity to execute projects. That has since been addressed by appointing general manager technical services as well as program managers. And that has to date helped quite a lot to boost performance in the organization. As we were talking or joining in, we came out of an organizational management meeting where we are currently sitting at about 81% performance. So it has already had a tremendous effect on our organizational performance just by boosting capacity and strengthening certain controls within the organization. Chair, just operational performance. Umhlatuzwe Water draws water from the Tugela Goedetrou transfer scheme via the Goedetrou Dam. We transferred 4.3 million cubes of water, of raw water, from the Tugela River to the dam, and it cost government about 50.8 million rand per year to operate and run that particular transfer scheme to secure water for the Richards Bay area, in specific the economic hub of this area. From the weir, where we extract the water from the transfer scheme, we abstracted 37.3 million cubes of water, and from the weir itself, the balance between 41.9 million that we produced in Nsezi, we draw from the Nsezi Lake. So we mixed the two volumes, and we discharged about 34.8 million of wastewater to sea. One of our areas that we would like to improve on in the coming years, Chairperson, is to reduce this wastewater discharge to sea by working with the City of Umhlatuz to introduce a wastewater reuse project, and hopefully in the coming years we can report some progress on that particular area. After abstracting all this water, Chair, only 1.52% of water goes missing or is lost from abstraction to production, which is a very, very low percentage loss, which shows the good condition of our infrastructure to actually perform our business. Operational performance on maintenance is just a graph that illustrates that we've spent about 15.5 million rand per annum on our assets and improving their performance, maintenance and repairs. The graph on the left just shows the committee where this money is spent. So for example, in Nsezi is the water treatment works, the weir is the raw water abstraction works, the pump station is our wastewater pump station that pumps effluent into sea. And then we specifically split out our pipelines, which is quite extensive, ocean pipelines. Is then your A line, which is the brown pipe on the left. This is the ocean lines, and then the C line is the other gray line. This shows you per plant, and then we show you per area where we spend the most money. It's basically on instrumentation, as well as our A line that is pipeline mechanics. Chair, during the year, we had zero disabling injuries that we reported, which we are very proud of, meaning that no person was injured to a point where it had to take any time off work or had any fatalities in the workplace. At the time of preparing the presentation, Chair, we're still sitting at 46 COVID cases to date. But now, since the presentation, I think we had two additional cases, so it brought it to 48 cases at Umhlatuzwe Water since COVID-19. Took its effect in this country. We had no fatalities in the workplace or any of our staff succumbing to COVID-19, which is very positive area for us. We had four environmental impact incidences where our infrastructure failed and caused material spillages into the environment, especially on the wastewater side, and we record them into these tables in our annual report as well. It was an offshore spillage out of the A line where there was a hole in the infrastructure, and that has since been repaired. The effluent spillage at the seawater intake, which is assisted to the one at the top, where water spilled into the harbour when there was an unforeseen power failure, and we are now introducing backup power supplies to that particular pump station in order to mitigate future spills. And then there were two incidences of a similar nature where there were breaks in pump lines which caused severe environmental damage, where gypsum spilled into the environment, and those have been repaired, and continuous inspection is now conducted on that particular stretch of the pipeline in order to prevent further further breakages in infrastructure. And then there was an over spill at the Mondi collecting chamber where the effluent is pumped into the chamber, and that matter has been addressed in working with Mondi to reduce the levels of the effluent into their own emergency ponds. Chair, on our technical report for the year under review is that most of the projects we have started have been completed. Projects that are undergoing or that started in that year is the Nsezi augmentation, which we want to increase the capacity of the Nsezi water treatment plant for future growth. That will, the design has happened in that year, and to date we have started with construction of the pipeline. The Isimangaliso Wetland Park project, small project, but we have at that time it was still in progress. I think we have concluded it by now. We are still running the Jazini water treatment works on behalf of the Mkanyakude district municipality, and that scheme supplies about 134,000 households north of Jazini. From a financial performance point of view, Chair, you'll see on the right-hand side on that column, you'll note that Mhlatuze Water still remains, even under difficult circumstances, a highly viable financial going concern as a company to the state, with gross profit margins sitting at 64%. Debtor collecting days have been had its challenges, but we managed to get it down to below our target of 45, which is at 38.29. Our staff remuneration, we manage it only 28, less than 30% of our operational costs, and sitting at 28%. Our net profit margin has increased. I think it's because of the austerity measures that we also implemented in reducing operational costs and unnecessary spending. Repairs and maintenance has been a bit lower than anticipated, but we have put in place measures to deal with improving percentage spent on maintenance and repairs as percentage of property, plant and equipment. Our current ratio, even though it's under the target of 3.7, it's still a very good current ratio. The norm is probably about 2 to 1.5 of any company. And the return on assets seems to be, is a very good return on asset for the company at 10%, and then EBIT at 27%. So all in all, Chair, what these indicators tell you is that Mhlatuze Water is healthy and is one of the entities that, if managed well in future and continue to be managed well in future, will remain a viable financial going concern without any headaches to the government. Our revenue segment, Chair, is that we make most of our money from bulk water. You'll see on the right hand side, half of our revenue comes from bulk water. Not all of it is sold to municipalities. Quite a bit of it is sold to industry, and it's probably our saving grace as an entity, as we are not highly dependent just on municipal revenue for our sustainability. Quite a bit of our revenue comes from wastewater disposal, effluent disposal to sea. Small bit comes from operating and maintaining the transfer scheme on behalf of the department. We, in that year, we still had the operational responsibility to the city of Mhlatuze, which made up 12%, and other activities like interest comes in at 3%. Our expenditure cost structure, Chair, the biggest chunk of our expense goes to employee-related costs, 28%, with electricity, repairs and maintenance, and bulk purchases coming in as the other big contributors to our operating costs. You'll see that continuous increase in the electricity tariff will in future just make that segment of the pie chart bigger and bigger. Jay, I know finances can be a very challenging topic to present, so we try and present it in a way that even I can understand it. So current assets, that means our cash and cash equivalents, money in the bank, basically increase on year with 15% to 521 million rand. Cash equivalents to 372 million, up 29%. And our property, plant and equipment on the left, which is our asset base, has increased to 1.5 billion or 1.5 billion, up 7%. That means all in all, Mfatuzi Water's reserves have improved also with 7%, 298 million rand in cash reserves. Our expenditure on property, plant and equipment maintenance has reduced to 74 million, a small reduction in 10%. We don't see it as a major impact. That's why the arrow is still green. And then our total liabilities have reduced to, I don't know, this, let's minimize this, to 264 million, because one of our loans, long-term loans, we have settled, and that reduced our long-term liabilities, our borrowings, to 9%. So all in all, Chair, it shows you that Mhlatazi Water's balance sheet is very healthy, and that we are able to cover all our responsibilities and issues over the next term quite comfortably if everything stays the same. I know, Chair, the particular issue in financial performance in receivables, that is money owed to the organization, is the issue of municipal debt. You'll see that municipal debt doesn't form a large proportion of our total debtors. It's only about 15% right at the bottom. It did increase slightly, and it's largely because of the Umkhonyokude debt, as you see there, which we have now managed to agree, I think in the last 3 or 4 months, have managed to come to an agreement to the district municipality to start settling their outstanding debt, which they have managed to honor up to now. So that should reduce quite substantially over the next 12 months. We are, like I said, Chair, fortunate that our customer base is diverse. It does not rely just on municipalities to pay our debts. Irregular expenditure, Chair, which is another thorn in government's side. You'll see that in historic, irregular expenditure was about 236 million in this year's, or as declared in that note 27 of the financial statements. That means in the prior years there were 236 million rands worth of irregular expenditure identified. Added to that was 824 million rand of prior year irregular expenditure, meaning that as we continue to investigate and look into historic transactions at Mhlatazi Water, we manage to find small irregular expenditure transactions here and there, so we add them. But the positive thing, Chair, is that you'll see here for the last 2 years, there has been no new irregular expenditure identified in Mhlatazi Water. That shows the strength of our controls and supply chain as well as management oversight, that no new financial irregularities have been picked up. Chair, just to take you through what are we doing about that 236 million rand of irregular expenditure. 203, you'll see here that balance adds up to a large extent. That balance, it's been corrected a bit. 203 million rand have been issued to external investigators, and 31 million is for internal investigation. This 203 million rand was given to external investigators on the suspicion of fraud and corruption or fraudulent activities that took place. And you'll see of the 203 million, so as you follow it down here, 166 million rand were investigated, and we have not submitted any of that for condemnation. And because of the existence of fraud and corrupt activities, we identified 80 million of the 166 million for possible recovery, as it is most likely to recover those, and we have appointed attorneys with the commencement of these processes, and to date 4 cases have been opened at SAPS at the Hawks for recovery. We have submitted some amounts to Treasury for condemnation. Some have since been condoned, Some have not been condoned due to some other reasons that Treasury felt that we need to implement, and we will respond to them. And that adds up to 203 million rand. Chair, I thank you. That is the presentation. I hope I stuck to the 25 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan. You finished 5 minutes before the time. And Bamashiko, these are the people who did that atmospheric water solution. We'll request the leadership of Overpe to follow now. Mr. Reddy and Rehem, and then Buthelezi to do the presentation. And the chairperson, please introduce the work, and then not more than 4 minutes, and then the presentation. In total, we have 80 minutes before 25 to 5, we should be done.
We are so grateful for the latest rain in the Western Cape. Okay, apologies for that. My camera PC is leaning over. Let me start again. We are so grateful for the latest rain in the Western Cape. That being said, good afternoon, and thank you to the chairperson, members of the committee, deputy minister, chairpersons, and CEOs of the and staff of the other water boards. I am Razin Benjamin, chairperson of Overberg Water Board. I'm joined on at another location by the CEO, Mr. Pakamani Buthelezi, the CFO, Mr. Norman Dow, and the COO, Mr. Anthony Lotz. I'm going to hand over to the CEO, Mr. Pakamani Buthelezi, who's going to take us through and give us a brief background on what Overberg Water is all about, some performance information as well as financial information as requested, and any other information that we thought pertinent for this committee to hear on. So that being said, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm handing over to Mr. Buthelezi, who's got the presentation on the screen already. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether my presentation is visible.
The presentation channel is on the screen.
Thank you very much. Just to show my
so
face.
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
Okay, so my question must have something, sir. No phone, okay.
Okay,
you can
thank
proceed.
You. Okay, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Minister. This is our presentation for 2019-20 financial year. Oh, why is it not moving? Okay. I will not cover everything here. I will try to be as brief as possible. I mean, I will try to be as detailed as possible within the shortest number of words to use. I think we are presenting this to the Portfolio Committee to communicate our performance for 2019-20. And then the Overberg Water, as we all know, is one of the smallest water boards in the country, but with a big impact what we have done over the years and what we are still going to do for years to come because we've got our growth path strategy in place. This is just an overview of our functional structure, but we would go there, and then this is our kind of organogram that we have that details the performance that we've achieved, which is sitting at 72%. We cover a vast area of supply of 6,000 square kilometers, and our pipeline network is 1,450. We exist in the Western Cape province. However, we are currently within the Brede Horis catchment management area. The intention is to go over and cover the entire combined catchment management area, which is a water management area, which will be called the Brede Horis, no, sorry, the Brede Olifants, as part of our growth path strategy. This one shows our area of jurisdiction currently. These are the areas where we find our pipeline networks, and we think we can cover the entire area, including more areas that we have identified in terms of our strategy. This is just show that we cover in the small portion of population, but our capacity is quite bigger that can cover more. Hence, we're in negotiations with existing customers to cover all our areas. I think it is important to say that we have our own challenges such as the ones that are stated here. I'm not going to cover everything there. What is important is that, as similar to all other water ports, we've got our aging infrastructure challenges that we have to deal with, but due to limited funding, we are doing all what we could to ensure that our infrastructure delivers what we want to see at the end of the day. We are also, two-thirds of our pipeline network is asbestos. We're currently investigating affordable replacement mechanism so that we are sensitive to the impact of asbestos. We're currently reliant on surface water, but there are plans in place to have a blended water supply, which includes groundwater as well as seawater. And also we have seen that Eskom energy levels are our core drivers. We are now investigating alternative sources of energy. That's what we want. And of course, one of the challenges that we are currently facing is that there is a possible water service provider that could be introduced by the Garden Route District Municipality, which is wants to take over some of the areas that we are currently providing. But we think that will have an impact on our growth path initiatives, but we are ready to deal with that when it comes. Coming to our performance information, judging from where we're coming from, where we are today, as much as we would have loved to achieve 100% performance, however, we've managed to reach 72% for 2019-20. We think for this 2021 is going to be much higher than what we have due to the improved control environment that we have covered over the years. Our main challenges were mainly on technical services because we are quite a small water port. At times it's difficult to attract the right skills, and also those right skills stay longer to retain them in our institution. The other thing is that in terms of our targets, like for example, in one of the number three, the percentage of compliance with water quality standards, we set ourselves 95%, but the actual was 98, but the actual percentage was 95. But the percentage stipulated is 95%. We try to outperform our own performance as in a water port. But the main challenge is mainly on our technical services. We are struggling to recruit right people. Hence, we find that in certain areas we do not have the maintenance plan completed or updated due to the technical challenges that we have, but it's something that we are currently addressing. Coming from the financial point of view, our current ratio is very good. Our target for 2019-20 was 2, and then the actual was 3.14, which shows that we are a financially healthy institution irrespective of the size of the entity, and that we have introduced a very good internal control systems in place. You'll see later when we come to the audit opinion. I think I would also state that we have two primary municipalities in place, that's Esekwa, as well as the TWK, the Waterskloof Municipality, and individual farmers. And on top of that, we've managed to secure a very good contract from the Department of Water, from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, where we are taking care of water services in the prisons. So now the intention now is to cover all the prisons in the Western Cape. That is the other aspect that we're doing, while we're also trying to secure additional contracts from municipalities like Beaufort West and the rest, including the Swartland municipalities. So these are some of the initiatives that we're having. But I think I must also say that the COVID really affected some of our performance areas, such as the production of our newsletter as well, and then delivering on water conservation and demand management initiatives. But it's something that we found creative ways of dealing with in this year around. I think we have a fairly stable labor force. Our turnover is less than 10%. Which is very good because it shows that as much as we are struggling to find the technical expertise, but generally we do retain those that we have in our system. We are currently implementing an ERP system that would replace the Promoon, which would make our automation insofar as financial processes and overall business processes are concerned would be improved. I think that is overall on the performance. Then it is also important to note that over the years, coming from 2016 up to now, we have been keeping unqualified audit opinion. I must say, firstly, this year, for 2019-20, our draft opinion was a clean opinion, but when it goes to the head office, which is in Pretoria, then it was changed to be a normal unqualified audit opinion. But we have not given up. I think we are trying to live up to the expectations of our minister. Deputy Minister once said, you have been getting these unqualified, now we need to get a clean audit. We tried our best, but the Pretoria says no, we're not yet ready. Work harder in order to get it. I think coming to our financial statement, as I said, we are not really a big organization. You could see what is our revenue, was 68 million rand, and then you could see what was our surplus. At the end of the year, it was 3.3, which is not as much as you would expect from Waterport. But we are remaining financial healthy, and I think with the additional projects and also additional municipalities that we are aiming for, we would improve our financial statement. I think it is important to say that our revenue has increased by 22% due to tariff adjustment, as well as DW projects and tanks. We are also increase our potable water sales due to the filling of critical vacant posts, as well as DW project and increase in chemical costs. I think if you look at this one, it shows that the revenue performance has been improving over the years. So we think as we capture more, or rather as we obtain more contracts from various municipalities, our revenue would increase. You also see that our cost of potable water, they are also they're kind of a challenge, even though for 2016 they were quite high. We did our best to reduce it, but due to COVID, then we've seen the trend that's slightly going up, but we think it will go down again so that we manage our costs. Our operating expenditure, as you could see, is increasing, and then our surplus as well is doing well as a water board. And then our gross profit margin is very good. It shows that it confirms the same statement that I've mentioned earlier on, that we are a financially healthy institution, and then the gross profit margin confirms that. For this year, it's sitting at 47%. I think which is not a bad idea. The statement of financial position as at 30 June 2020, if I go straight down that, total net assets and liabilities were sitting at 104 million, which is not bad as it used to have been before. We still need to grow the entity to improve our financial positions. The non-current assets decreased by 2% due to assets being depreciated, and replacement is not enough as the tariff does not include the capital levy. We have been making this as a proposal to our capital levy. Unfortunately, this has not yet been approved, but we think as more we engage and with our parent department and all our stakeholders, they will understand that we have to have the capital levy in order to improve our infrastructure. I think the rest there is self-explanatory. I will simply show you this one, the return on assets, which also sitting at 5%, as well as our current ratio, which is not bad, which is 3.14%. And again, it shows that we are one of the few, or we are one of the water boards rather, which are financially healthy. We have not yet experienced any financial difficulties, despite the fact that the tariff was not adjusted in that particular year. And of course, we do need to work harder to improve our financial situation. Our debtors dates, they've just galloped compared to the previous year, 211. This is due to the fact that we have this project, public works project. In the beginning, the payment was very, very slow. And we, in certain areas, we had to cross-subsidize in order to ensure that our inmates have got good quality water, and the water supplies in prisons, it's not affected by the payment issues. I think this is what has kept us going. when you look at on comments on our key ratios, as I said, our gross profit margin is relatively better, it's 41%. Net profit margin is 5%. The current ratio is 3.14. The return on assets 5%. Cost per unit 1807, and then average tariffs 9.62. Debtors days after 11. Creditors days 28. And the cash ratio 1.07. Even though our debtors days are a little bit high, but at the end of the day we remain financially healthy. The message is that the gross profit has increased slightly due to the inclusion of DW project, as I said earlier on, and the net profit margin decreased slightly due to decrease in volume of water sold. And of course, when there was a lockdown, our client, the SAB breweries, was not utilizing our water, so people were not drinking enough beer, and as a result, our water volume sales decreased because of that. And then the company, our ability to pay short-term debt is very good, has improved to 3.4%, I mean to 3.14 times. And then our profitability, of course, also is 4%. I think the rest is just a confirmation of what I've just covered there. Sorry. And then is the statement of cash flows as it shows the operating activities. It also shows that we were unable to reach our target of, I think our target was 2.something million rand, but we could not achieve that one because of the tariff issue. But it's now water under the bridge. We have to live with what we have in order to sustain this organization. The net cash flows from operating activities, the net cash flow from operating activities decreased by 55% due to the following reasons. Cash pay to suppliers in order to comply with 30 days payment. We also delays in payment of the DPW project, as I said earlier on, but that was only applicable in that financial year. If you look at our expenditure outcome, we managed, the actual was 95% and the remaining budget was only 5%. I think we did something good there in terms of spending. Our expenditure was not the best. I think the other thing is we have managed to reduce our irregular expenditure from 46 million, which was accumulative, to 130,000 by the end of 2019-20. But by the end of this year, we've managed to reduce it to zero. So these are some of the internal controls that we've improved, with the board being our overseer and also pointing us into the right direction. I think on human resources capacity, we are currently at 95 people due to the public works project. We have inherited quite a substantial number of people who are already on this project in our own personnel. I think we are currently focusing more on increasing the female component. In certain areas, there's a satisfactory presence of females, but in certain areas, there's not a satisfactory. We are doing our best to ensure that it's addressed. We're also an organization that believes in training people. With the little resources that you have, you prioritize training for our personnel. It's something that we are currently doing, and we shall also continue doing. I think in conclusion, it is recommended that the portfolio committee note the Overbeck Water Board's 2019-20 annual report. The internal audit function has been established through the outsourcing mechanism. The irregular expenditure was investigated. And consequence management is being applied across. And currently, regular expenditure is minimal. And now, as I've said, in this financial year, it's going to be zero. And Overbeck Water has developed a growth path strategy, which will take Overbeck Water to the next level. The focus has been on internal control in the last 3 years, so now the focus is really aggressively growing the business of all water, because the internal controls are in place, and we have seen, due to what has been confirmed even by the office of the AG, also by the fact that we have been getting unqualified audit opinions for the past 3 years. And more importantly, the entity is overseen by a diverse team of board members who are determined to make a difference, and we're grateful that we are where we are today due to the input and the commitment that they have made. we strongly feel that the entity is a strategic resource for current and future water services, not only in the region but throughout the water management area, and we think we are ready to take the challenges of realizing our good bad strategy. I think on that note, Chairperson, Minister, and members of the portfolio committee, we want to say thank you very much, Danki, and go see Siabonga Kul, really book.
No, thank you very much, Senich, and thanks to the chair, you, that Benjamin, you managed to keep time and presented well. Your Excellency Chair will request the last board, Sadie Bain, and the chairperson to lead us and the acting CE there, so that we should be able to give it back to you, chairperson. Valciano, please come through.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, but it's full of one in trouble, yeah, Chief.
Oh, sorry.
And then we'll say Kala.
My apologies. Can you see me? Yes. Yes. Can I start?
You can proceed. Then let's also leadership try to manage the 30 minutes. And in other words, it should be done by before 5 to 5.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair, once again. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister. Good afternoon, Portfolio Committee members, colleagues from the Water Boards. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Peto Siengo. I'm the chair of the interim board. The chair of the portfolio committee has already announced the untimely death of our chief executive officer, Dr. Mbulawa. Therefore, we, as the interim board, have appointed Mr. Toto Mulobe as the acting chief executive officer. Mr. Mulobe is going to be doing the presentation for the 2019-2020 annual report. We are also joined by two colleagues. One is Ms. Tembeka Busakwe and Ms. Nobatembo Mbecheni, the acting chief financial officer, but she'll joining us probably. I think she has joined us in the meeting already. Chair will take question as a team at the end when Mr. Mulobe has already done the presentation. So without wasting time, Chairperson, I would like to request Mr. Mulobe to take the stand and do the presentation. Thank you. Mr. Mulobe?
Thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to share the screen and the thing with this thing. Yeah. Just a second. There is my face and. I'm still trying to share the screen. I
do that. Do you have the share? Did they give you the sharing right?
Not sure. I can't.
Yeah. Okay.
Tandega, can you please assist?
If possible, we can, I can write a moved screen as you are presenting. I'll try to share from my side and see if maybe it will work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
You can proceed, my leadership. Just let's go to the key issue that we have said to the others.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, and thank you to everyone for your patience. We have our content page there, and where we
can the person who's helping you just press slideshow,
please, Tembeka.
Slideshow
in
the bottom.
Bottom. Thank you very much. Can you go to the introduction to the content page? Here we are showing the areas that we'll be covering, moving, which are the purpose of the presentation, the dashboard, the areas of operation, achievements, the overview of the financial performance of the organization, and overview of non-financial performance, and the tariff determination, as well as the municipal debt, as at the 30th of June 2021. The introduction, we indicate the area of our area of supply as an organization and how we are established. And just to indicate that we are established in terms of the Act, and also we are involved in the activities that are listed. Can we move on? So, as indicated, the purpose is to of this presentation is to present the annual report for 2019-2020 to give an overall performance against predetermined objectives, as well as to present the increasing debt from bulk municipality services that we are providing. Dashboard. Here we're just giving the synopsis of quick facts, that is the industry we are in, that we are a state-owned enterprise, that we are in the water and service or water and sanitation services, and then our asset base is 4 billion, and then we have a headcount just in excess of 890, and then in terms of governance we've got a board with an attendance of about 90% and actual target of 90% and actual of 88%. We've got an age of the business of 41 years, that means we've been around for some time, and the reporting date, which is June, as well as our website. Quickly, whilst on that, our footprint is as follows. We are a bulk water supplier. We produce 114 million kiloliters per annum, and then we all serve the population of about approximately 2.5 million, and the number of reservoirs that we have is about 34. The total number of reservoirs, reservoir towers, 10, and the holding dam, only one. The financial and qualitative results are as follows: gross profit, gross revenue of about 2 billion. And posted a net profit for the financial year in question of about 108 million and the direct operating cost of 1.7 billion and our employment equity profile is as follows. At the top in the main, gender representativity is as low as 15.38%, which is something that we are working on because we've got a lot of vacancies at that level. The diversity is at 76%, which means the non-designated groups are constituting the remainder as well. The designated groups at middle management level account for about 82.35%, while the people with disabilities in the organization as a whole is just below 2% target at 1.56%. Can we move on? Then we have covered our already in the synopsis our area of operation, which is 100,000 square kilometers, which means that we cover an area of that spans across three provinces, which is the Northwest, the Free State, the Northwest, and the Northern Cape. Because of the rural nature of our location, we cover a very vast area. In terms of the we have these municipalities that are listed. I'll pass on that one that we are in the provinces wherein they are located. In the Free State, we've got visually Buswa District Municipality, Nala and Machabeng, and then Northwest, the District Municipality of Dr. Ruth Munpati and Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, District Municipalities, and the local municipalities that are listed there who are forming part of our customer base. In the Northern Cape, we've got the Tanzabani, Valkamahara, Dikatong, Namakoi, Pokwani, Jomrulong, and Kaima and Saksikonyane municipalities. Can we move on? This is the map that shows the areas that we are covering. And then you realize that we covering the green one, there is the former Bela Drift area, and then we've got Wutsilo, which is a bit blue there, and then the proclaimed areas of the Northern Cape and the Northwest, respectively, as well as in the Free State, as indicated. Coming to our achievements, we have tried our best to ensure that we manage a financially viable and sustainable organization where we prudently manage costs and then revenue levers below target due to less consumption by customers and supply and surplus targets were exceeded due to the realization of deferred income for project funding. Operational efficiencies. On that one, we have a total of about 9.5% of unaccounted for water in the Free State and the Northern Cape regions where we render bulk supply or water supply services. And then, in terms of water quality, we met our compliance standards as the substance 241. 2015, and then our average expenditure on BEE is 90%. In terms of the HIV/AIDS program, we have run awareness campaigns throughout the whole organization, and then we have organized in voluntary counseling and testing for employees during the year under review. In terms of recruitment and development of employees, we actually awarded bursaries about 82 of the 82 individuals, and we also funded apprentice and learnership programs for about 14 beneficiaries or beneficiaries, and then they were the youth and the unemployed people in our area of operation. On skills training, we had regulatory and functional training of about 43, and then professional six professional conferences, and we also had total beneficiaries for training and development of about 726. Bearing in mind that we had COVID and we had other constraints that led to this kind of performance. And in terms of graduate programs and internship, we are providing young people who have graduated from universities or and University of Technology to with an opportunity to be to get workplace exposure, or 31 of them for that period. And on the workplace skills planning, we're able to submit our WSP as well as our annual training report for the this for 2019 respectively to the EWCDA, and it was accepted accordingly and received a mandatory grant to that effect. The staff even though our operations are remotely located in mainly rural areas, we may be struggling to attract people, but we are able to retain those we do have. As you could see, that our turnover rate is 0.78, and then these are the numbers, about 53 positions that were filled with permanent and contract workers during the third period. Now, getting into the financial the overview of financial performance of the organization, the covering the financial statements, the analysis of expenditure, as well as the overview of the audit report. We can move now. Here, the financial performance is there and self-explanatory, where we have our revenue at the top of 1.3 billion, and then we were at the end of the term, we had a surplus of 108 million for the period, which meant an improvement. Then on the financial position as at the 30th of June, we will see and realize that this is how we have fared from what we had. And you see the variance in terms of the current, the non-current assets, the current assets, and then and as well as the total equity and liabilities of 11.73%. Can we move on, please? Still on finance, on key financial ratios, we have got the gross profit percentage of 70 of an actual of 70%, and the target which was 65%. We have achieved our target on the score, and then on the net profit, we have also achieved our target, which was our actual. Was 11% as opposed to the target of 4%. The current ratio, we could not achieve the the target what we have set out to achieve, and then we have provided an explanation of our reasons for not achieving the on the target. In terms of the return on investment, we have exceeded our target, and then data space, we have not achieved our target because we are trying to implement, the organization is implementing supply restrictions to non-paying municipalities, and the organization has also returned to the minister for the intervention. I think we will all realize that we are the water board that is owed more than any other water board in the country because the municipalities that are not paying. Debt equity ratio, we have achieved our target, as we can see. Can we move on? So, in terms of expenditure outcome, we just indicating here what our expenditure, our budget was, and our expenditure was, and the variance, and then the reasons for the variance. We have provided them in the extreme column, and in the interest of time, I may not get in there. Safe to say that reasons for every variance are provided in there. Can we move on? The overview of the audit report. We have received a qualified audit over the past 3 years, and it would appear as if there has been no improvement in it, but every effort has been employed. We have made every effort to try and turn around the situation to a better audit opinion as we'll be moving into the following financial year. In terms of predetermined objectives, I think that is sort of explanatory. As indicated, there were matters for qualification matters in the report that we received from the AGSA, and these are listed so for us to note, and then we have the one that relates to property, land, and equity, where we were saying they were unable to verify some of the movable and immovable assets, and then there was also a limitation of scope, and in the next one, which is the payable from exchanges and transaction, there was also a limitation of scope because of the supporting documents that were not submitted during the audit. Deferred income, not all deferred income was realized, and then that is the note. And then there is also on paragraph 7, the one that relates to revenue and non-exchange transaction. And lastly, last but not least, the one on commitments and one on irregular expenditure that could not be confirmed on the expenditure schedule. We move on. Thank you very much. Then the still on this one, on the irregular expenditure, we have we can note that there has been an increase on the irregular expenditure from the previous year, and then there is also actually at the end of it, all that irregular expenditure that is under investigation amounts to 1.1 billion, as opposed to 417 million in the previous financial year. So we have provided an explanation of the situation, and that something that had led to this kind of a qualification. Right, fruitless and wasteful expenditure as a part of an overview of the audit report. We have our opening balance of 582, and then all in all, the wasteful food, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has increased from 582 to 831, and then the reasons for this challenge are cited here in our footnote. Thank you. Can we move on to the next one? So then these are commitment analysis, which are standing at 97288, and then these commitments relate to capital infrastructure projects, expenditure contracted but not yet spent at the end of the financial year, as we know that we are an implementing agent on behalf of the department. The overview of non-financial performance. Let's get quickly to the slide. Thank you very much. Here we just in trying to indicate that our strategic objectives are aligned to the national government's medium-term strategy.
Try to wrap up, CEO.
All right, thank you. Can we move on quickly, Tembikas? In terms of performance objectives, we can note that we have achieved 70% in the previous year, and it went down to 44%. And then we have provided the reasons as to for this not poor performance. Comparatively, this is the pie chart of the same in terms of our achievement of our targets. And this slide also talks to the various there's a problem here. The screen is blank, Chair. Deputy Minister, we have a challenge here, technical one. The screen is blank. I wish I could.
Can we try to help us? It's frozen. How many slides to go? Because we have about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, we will run through the few more slides, Deputy Minister, but we'll try and summarize as much as we can.
Let's try to summarize within the next 3 minutes.
Can we move down, Telega? So this slide relates to the tariff increases that we have had during the period, and then in the 2020, 2021, and 2022 financial year, we are approved. And can we move further down, because that is self-explanatory. Can we move further down towards the end and talk about the challenge, the municipal debt? Here is the slide that deals with the municipal debt. As I've indicated earlier on, that we are the most hard hit organization, water board in the whole country, and is a municipality that has got the debt that is in excess of 4 billion, and that has got an impact on our operation, because we are unable to pay, or it creates cash flow problems. Can we move on towards the end? And so we have then entered with, we have to enter into a payment agreement with some of the municipalities in Northern Cape, Mahikeng, as well as in the Northwest provinces, and we are trying to interact with the municipalities to ensure that they do pay and then address this low collection rate that we are currently experiencing, and then we have enlisted the services of attorneys to assist us in the debt collection, especially in the Machabeng local municipality, and then we have also problems that are related to payment of services in the Northwest. There is the Dr. Ruth and Ngakamdiri Murema municipalities. Lastly, then we have also issued demand letters that needed some money to keep us afloat, and with the assistance from the minister, from the department, we're able to do some of the things that we need to do in order to operate as an organization. Can we move this? These are the challenges that we have indicated, that debt collection is a major problem, and then we've got letters days that has increased from 971 to 1679 as at the 30th of June. Our cash flow challenges would also mean that we have fruitless and wasteful expenditure as a result of payment of non-payment of creditors, and then we also have a legal exposure because we are unable to pay our creditors because of the cash flow problem that we might be having, especially suppliers and also the projects that we are dealing with. Thank you, Chair.
Excellency Chairperson, thank you very much. We are heading back over to you. The three water boards are done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, GM and chairs of the boards and the CEs. Thank you for the presentation. Let me take this opportunity to welcome members of the portfolio committee who want to speak to the presentation. Hello, Chair. Honorable Mosala, I see your hand.
Honorable Mokgotu. Let me see other hand. Proceed, Honorable Mohlala, Honorable Mokgotu, Honorable Mashego, Honorable, yeah.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. Let me start with Sidibeng. Sidibeng, you have you got a qualified audit. Instead of moving to be better, it is now worse. Because when looking at your presentation, in terms of performance, the previous years you were sitting on 60-something percent, now you're reduced to 40-something percent. So there's nothing that is happening there. Instead, the whole organization is just collapsing like that. So, Sidibeng, with your qualified audit, are they financially viable if your current ratio is 1.3? Whereas healthy ratios should be 1.5 to 3. How are you going to address this issue? Once more, Sidibeng, you have been currently owed 4.1 billion by your customers, with the number projected to increase to 7.9 billion. But the Water Board faces a serious problem with regards to debtors and creditors. Sidibeng owes currently 2.9 billion to its suppliers, which is expected to increase to 7.1 billion. This is not sustainable and place the Water Board at a risk, with Eskom being its biggest creditor. So this question is directed to both Sidibeng and the Department of Water and Sanitation. It is as follows. Is this Water Board not then financially viable to carry out its project? Chairperson, my question also goes to Overbeck Water Board. My question is, what is the nature of your investment which are generating the substantial interest? The second question is, irregular expenditure of 130,000 for Overbeck relating mainly to non-compliance with treasury regulations, deviation not justifiable, and goods, works or services were not procured through a procurement process which is fair, equitable, transparent and competitive. Can we get an explanation with regards to that? Why? Why deviations? Why all those non-compliance with the treasury regulations? And lastly, I'm going to go to Mhlathuze. Mhlathuze, your audit for 2019-20 of Mhlathuze shows an irregular expenditure of 823,000 as bids were not advertised for a prescribed period. So we need also details with regards to that. Can we get an explanation? What happened? Why did such happen? Lastly, the question to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Some water boards are considering applying for a draft tariff to assist to boost revenues. Is the Department of Water and Sanitation including a draft tariff methodology in the norms and standards so that these are properly regulated. Thank you.
Honorable Mokoto.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to direct my questions to CDBN Water Board. The first question is going to be under employment equity. In the presentation, it is stated that gender representativity is 15.38%. Does it mean that 85% of your employees consist of male employees or vice versa? And then if that is the case, why is it like that? Why such a huge gap when you employ your employees? And then under administration costs, you had a budget of 280 million, yet you spent only 173 million. Why have you only spent 62% of the budget allocated for this section? And then you incurred irregular expenditure of 1.1 billion in the current year, and also wasteful expenditure and also fruitless expenditure of 248 million. Do you have a plan in place to remedy this situation in future going forward so that we mustn't experience such waste of tax money that is paid by majority of the working people of South Africa that expect that money should be used sparingly and diligently so that services should reach the people of South Africa? Is there any consequence management applied to the officials responsible for this irregular, wasteful and fruitless expenditure which have been incurred? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashego. Honorable Mashego.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I might have a difficulty, but for whatever reason, there's a lot of shedding in Bushbuckridge. I don't know where that's come from. But it is happening here.
And you need to take your vaccine, your coffee.
Hey, good evening. Meet me, call for whatever. Most of them,
I'll send you something.
Please, ma'am. Chairperson, thank you very much. I think I am a bit comfortable with the report of the two boards, meaning both for Overbeck and Hlatuzi. There is a plan and as far as they report and so forth, and the progress moving forward. And as far as CDBN is concerned, Chair, and I don't want to ask them questions, I want to ask them the department. Given all the problems that I raised, especially by Member Mukhutu, I was going to raise them, for instance. Today, in 2021, you still see this 15% women employees on your structure. You report it as a normal recourse. And I doubt you would want to say that you don't find the capable women that can even send you to 40%, let alone 50%, 40%. You're sitting at 50. If I may ask Mashoma and the department, remember these boards are living on your whim. It is yourself who appoint them. You must have assessed them. You must have given them the green light of them existing and them being an ongoing concern. What informs your decision to still allow Zidimeng to be still existing and be part of yourself when they are failing in this manner to meet the requirements of their existence? The assumption I'm making is that they must have reported to you before they come here the things you might have said to them or given to them or things that satisfied you to can allow them to still continue and do work on your behalf when in actual fact they are this much so failing to do that. I know they exist only if their debtors are paying them, but they also are owing others in the process. They're going to continue in care costs while they have no capacity to can recover or to can pay those particular debts. So a responsible department to me could have already have a panic button on Citibank and put upon a program that you think you want to revive them on, and if they don't meet those programs, because as I'm making that they are part of you because they might have won the tender as the best competitor with the other boards that are there to can do the service, but they cannot just cannot be their best right to be working doing your work. It can't be the best right that they are being given the work because they exist. Therefore, you have got no option but to give them work. There are other departments, there are other boards that can do this work, that can do better. So the bank does not seem to be wanting to go to that particular level. But you are still giving them work and you're still bringing them to come and report here. And you have got no plan that they must meet in terms of them existing. If there is any we don't know, please make us understand as if we can keep you accountable on those commitments. Otherwise, I'm sitting, I want to agree with the member of Mkhala that I doubt there is a company or an institution called Citibank existing meeting the standards of the board. But the other two boards, as I'm saying, I can see there's life there. People are doing over back, is doing well. Of course, there are these municipalities that are starting not to pay. And even one municipality that is wanting to compete with them. I think this is something they can deal with because in their report they show that they are existing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashiafu. I don't see any other hands. I think we should, as we welcome the presentation and concur that Mhlathuzi and Overbeck, they've tried their best, though they can still do more. And since the Citibank was appointed the interim board, it was worse than this, if you remember. In the last month or 2 months, there was even the show called Little Last Child, which shows the corrupt activities in one of the areas. Is it Malutia Pofu or something like that? So I want to agree with Honorable Mashiafu just to check with the department that what measures or what program have you put in place to support, assist the Citibank for them to recover? Because I remember when they come in, the situation has been worse than this. but the just to explanation of what the department has done in supporting Citibank, and do you think Citibank will ever recover? And if you think they won't recover, what then should be the plan on Citibank, and including the I remember in their last presentation they were saying if they were not being paid by some municipalities, they were going to close shop at some point, and today they are still surviving. But just to check, what program has department have put in place, and did the Citibank implemented the action plan out of the Auditor General's findings? If not, what was the reason? And then what is it going to be done to make sure that what the audit findings are going to get implemented? So, and who should then be able to, if the Citibank is not recovering, and department, whom should we blame, acting DG on that? Can we get response?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe Chairperson, because the other water boards, no questions for them. Because of the magnitude of the question that I asked in terms of Citibank water as a going concern, because members are raising issues around their financial viability and liquidity. Probably let's add out the department first, Chair, to respond to some of these issues that we as a shareholder, what are we doing and how are we supporting this institution. It has some difficulties, and also looking at the era of operation, it's normally servicing those poorest of the poor communities. The water services authorities where it's operating are the most vulnerable ones. But let me allow the acting DG and Sistova, because even when there was a time we came here when COVID started, we raised this issue that there are those that needed some kind of intervention and support, and what have we done? Sister Debra, if you can come in, and Sistova and the CFO and then before we allow the board itself to respond. Thank you, Chair.
We also ask questions to Overbeck and Mkhatuze. I had the DJ.
And our coach and our comrade fight, and they will respond, yeah.
Okay, no,
I can see you're asking very serious financial accounting issues.
I'm worried because we can see we are going to into financial problems. Yes.
Acting DG, thank you. Acting DG, Sistova, please come through. Sister.
Thank you, DM. Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Member. The department is aware of the challenges in Citibank Water Board, and that awareness has resulted in us assisting Citibank in various ways. Citibank has an interim water board, and as far as I know, since the interim water board started, there have been some signs of improvement in Citibank. The interim board is chaired by Dr. Situtore. I think he introduced himself at the start of the presentation. and we want to believe that the work they are doing there will take the day somewhere. The department has, we have not even recently, we interviewed for the board so that we can have a permanent board in Sidibeng. That process is underway. I think it will be submitted to cabinet soon. It will be resubmitted to cabinet soon because I think lots of intent and then there were questions and issues that we needed to clarify there and it has been resubmitted so soon. We will have a pronouncement by cabinet on the permanent back board for CDB. Coming back to how we are assisting them, we, as I said earlier, in the first session when you asked us what it is that we are doing to support water boards. Sidibeng Water Board has been appointed as an implementing agent for a number of projects. It was also among those was the COVID project that was run in a number of municipalities. It hasn't performed badly in all of the projects that we gave to them. Yes, there were challenges with some. So we are of the view that once that, because we did not anticipate that the process will take this long, that is the process of the appointment of a new board. We didn't think or anticipate that it would take this long. So we thought that with the appointment of the new CE, the one who unfortunately passed on, and the appointment of the permanent board, the debate would move to a better trajectory. So unfortunately, two things have happened there that sort of put our plans on shaky ground. That is the delay in the finalization of the board, and secondly, the passing on of the CE. So, we then were dealt a bit of a blow there. But I don't think that all ground is lost because soon the process of the board will be finalized. And secondly, that the interim board that we have is not a bad team. So we believe that they will be able to do something in the meantime and that Sidibeng will get out of the situation in which they are. But I think I mustn't shy away from the fact that part of the trouble of Sidibeng is because of the huge amount that they are owed by municipalities. And unfortunately, they are serving the most, let me not say the most because I haven't necessarily compared, I don't have a ranking of municipalities, but say that they are serving one of the poor parts of the country. So with that, if we can address the issue of non-payment by municipalities, one of the ways that we are putting on the table is actually getting some shares of the company, equitable shares of municipalities from National Treasury. That's one of the proposals on the table as we speak, as honorable members might know. Or that we take those services to the water board so that then the water board will do their own revenue collection from individual users there. Perhaps that will actually improve on the financial viability of the Sidibeng Water Board. I think, Chair, I have tried, or I've responded to the issue of the sustainability of Sidibeng. I'm not sure whether I should pause here and check as to whether there is anything about today that you haven't responded to. There's an issue of the employment equity. Unfortunately, we are not part of, as a department, much as we are shareholders, we are not part of the processes. We are never part of their processes, even the appointment of the CEO. It is only upon their invitation that we become part of that process. And even their top structure, we necessarily do not become part of that. Maybe it is something that we need to consider as policy in the department that we firm up on that the department will be part of that, see to it that employment equity and all other prescripts of government are attached. Let me stop there, Honorable Chair.
Is Togo anything to add?
Thank you, DM, Honorable Members. Yes, I will add to DG's comments. I think when we talk about State Bank, we must also remember their history in terms of the fact that they inherited some disestablished water boards that were not performing well in Northwest, the Botshelo Water Board, former Botshelo Water Board, and which also collapsed because of non-payment by the Northwest municipalities, in particular the Ngaka Modiri Mulema, which did not pay, and the whole staff and the team were then transferred to Sedibeng Water. And also another water board, which was Namakwa, and a third one was Pelatrift. So the impact also, we have learned from this experience that the impact of transferring those staff, I think it was, it became difficult for Citibank to accommodate due to their financial and liquidity issues. And Chairperson, Honorable Members, also you must remember that although we are dealing with Sedibeng, indirectly we are dealing with Matabeng, which is not paying Sedibeng water. And I think we need also to remember that if the municipalities had a negative impact on the, if their retail business is failing, they had a negative impact also on Sedibeng. So what we are seeing in Sedibeng is an outcome of what Ngaka Modiri Mulema, what also Matabeng has had in terms of financial consequences of not paying Sedibeng water. And I think we have had a number of meetings internally, and a decision has been taken by DG that we need to focus on them in terms of their financial sustainability. And there have been various meetings also with National Treasury and with SALGA and on the issue. Sedibeng is also preparing a due diligence report which is looking in terms of their future growth strategy as to what is expected of them in the future and how they can come out of this current situation that they are facing. Thank you. Thank you, DM, and thank you, Chair.
You never responded on our oversight role to monitor issues like remedial actions and so forth. The Chair was asking about those things, and
yes.
Because their financial position still looks bad.
Yes, DM, we have on a quarterly basis, we are monitoring their quarterly reports, and we are also working with them on a number of issues, and where there is issues of delays or non-compliance, we do issue those notices. And I think we have really been active in terms of supporting them, even in analyzing their annual reports and the corporate plans. So we are working closely, not only us and Treasury as well at DM. Thank you.
We'll request a Comrade Chair of Sedibeng CMO to respond, and the acting CE, before we give to the leadership of Overbeck. Those are the ones that were asked. Abu CMO, where are you?
Can you hear me, Deputy Minister?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my apologies. I don't know what happened. I think it was my mic. I'm saying, Deputy Minister and Chair, the two colleagues from the department have covered some of the things that I wanted to say. That it is true that our debtors do not pay us, meaning that the municipalities, and therefore that translates to us being unable to pay our creditors. One of the creditors is the department because we get raw water from the department. So we're unable sometimes to service. In fact, we're unable to service them, including some of the suppliers that supplies us. It is also true that we are unable to enforce contracts because we do not have money to pay lawyers so that we can take even the municipalities to court. We are unable to purchase gadgets in order for us to be able to restrict water, as you know that we are supposed to be restricting water rather than to close the depths totally. Even key positions, for example, the CFO position, the COO position, positions which are crucial for the organization, we do not have money to commit in order to appoint those people. The Honorable Member Mosala asked a very important question regarding the 1.3% current debt ratio. Yes, numbers do not lie. We are unable to pay our short-term obligations, hence the percentages, the current ratio is 1.3. It means that we are unable to convert or use our assets in order to satisfy or service our current debts. So we've got a serious challenge, and these are the questions that the interim board has been asking in the organization, and therefore our liquidity is challenged, our going concern is challenged. And I'll request my colleagues to cover, in particular, the acting chief financial officer, just to explain the support that we receive from the Department of Water and Sanitation. We received some loan from them, which gave us some relief in terms of our operation requirements. And also, if the acting chief financial officer can just explain, because there seems to be a confusion about that 1.1 billion, as you have seen that we had an opening balance of about, I think, 450 something million, which came from the previous year of irregular expenditure, and I think for that current year, which is 2019-2020, was about 700 million. But it doesn't change the fact that yes, our irregular expenditure is increasing. Please also, acting chief financial officer, just explain to members in terms of the difference between the wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, because some of these things might be us not being able to service maybe SARS or the department. It's not like we're stealing money or the organization is stealing money. Can you just explain that, acting CFO? The last one, Chair, I would request that Mr. Mulobe, who was our HR executive and now the current acting chief executive officer, to just explain the question that was asked by Honorable Mokgoto regarding this gender representativity of skin person, because I would want to admit, if it's that's the case, it's something that is shocking in this day and nature. So if you could just allow them to respond to this question, Chair, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister, Portfolio Committee members, CE, and the rest of the members in the meeting. Yes, we have received support from the department. We received money amounting to 139 million that was transferred into our bank account mid-April. And other than that, we are working closely with the department in terms of the submissions of our Section 41 reports and the committee meetings that we attend. Even now, before this meeting, we had a meeting with SALGA when we were discussing the issues relating to us not being able to collect the debt, mainly from the four municipalities that are
always... Can you put our videos on, please, members and the official?
All right, ma'am.
is sorry about that. As I continue that, before this meeting, we had a meeting with SAGA, Treasury, as well as the department, when we were discussing the issues around the debt that is owed by municipalities and the interventions that all the affected parties need to take in order to assist one, us, the water board, and as well as municipalities, because it can be that there are far more reasons that municipalities are not paying us. Therefore, it means that we need to go deeper into the issue so that consequently, Sidibeng Water is able to recover their debts. They received the money and we had used it largely for operations, and we have paid some of our, I'd say, demand letters, because we had an emergency of suppliers that were threatening to take us to court, so we prioritized those, and as well as ESCOM payments, because we had instances where we don't pay an ESCOM account, ESCOM will shut down the water, the electricity, affecting then the delivery of the service that we are giving to our municipalities. We do have some of the money left, because what we have done, we took the money and then we placed it into an account where when we are experiencing shortfalls, and then we request and take from the money. However, we have had a commitment to say we are going to increase the interventions that we are doing and collections of the data, that the money that we have received from the department, it won't be used up very quickly. So we do have some money left at the moment. In response to irregular expenditure, the irregular expenditure that has been incurred in the current financial period that is under question, which is 1920, was 700 million. And it is largely due to the dysfunctionalities that currently exist in the organization with the setup of the SCM processes. However, there is, an understanding in terms of the project that we get from the department, whereby the procurement processes that we take to appoint those service providers, it's mostly not compliant with your relevant laws and regulations, therefore resulting as incurring irregular expenditure. Now, the chair had asked me to explain the difference between irregular and fruitless. Now, your fruitless and wasteful expenditure is where you did not necessarily receive economic benefit from the money that you have spent, and then in putting it in plain terms, whereby that expenditure could have been avoided. So the large attribution of our focus and wasteful expenditure is actually interest that we are being charged by our creditors due to late payment. And the 246 million that is reflected, 95% of that actually belongs to DWS with the raw water purchases that we are receiving from the department. So even with our creditors book at the moment, you find that as at 31st May, the total creditors book was 3.6 billion because of the assistance that we received from the department and the demand letters we were sending to the municipalities, and some of them were paying, and then we were able to service. Now, 3.2 of that, it actually belongs to the department. So what I'm trying to say is we are trying to manage our creditors, and we are paying them through the interventions and with the cash flow, with the cash that is available to us. But at the moment, we have not been able to service the accounts that we have with DWS, and it is a direct contribution to our creditors' book as well as our focus and wasteful expenditure at the moment. So I think I have covered most of the concerns that the chair has directed me to speak to. Thank you so much, Chair, and the rest of the committee members.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. With regards to the question that relates to employment equity and the specific gender, low gender represent, women representation at management level. It is true that our representation of women at that level, because it is specific to the management level, it is 15%, and you did not note that there are many vacancies that are there in that level as a result of people leaving the organization for a number of reasons. I must hasten to indicate that women representation at the level has always been a problem to the organization because of the location of our corporate office. It is not in in cities where there are facilities, there is schools for children as well as other things that are maybe associated with big cities like Johannesburg, Durban, etc. We have always had a problem first to attract people to come and work over here, and if we have women, we have attracted them, they would not stay for long. They would just have accumulated experience, and from there they would move over to join their families in big cities. But we have a plan in terms of our employment that we have in terms of our corporate plan to say we need to get to almost 50% of women at that level, because we know that it is a problem that we need to address. And with the vacancies that we have, as the chair has indicated, we have got the position of the COO, which is vacant, the one of the chief executive, the one of the CFO, and also technical one in technical support, and she that is still vacant, and the company secretary positions, about five of them. If they were to be filled, our figures would change automatically. But it is not guaranteed, because even with the recent appointment of the CE, applications from women were very few, and which has been the challenge all along that we have experienced, especially when we recruit at these levels. But we have identified it as a challenge that we must address as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Well, the request over back, Reading and Sheng, Benjamin and Sheng.
Thank you. Before I hand over to the CEO and his team to respond, I'd just like to thank the Honourable Member Rebecca for insightful questions, the one relating to the nature of the investment and the irregular expenditure of 130,000 rand. I just want to remind the members that the CEO was appointed in late 2018, 2019, and the board members was also sorted effectively in May 2019. So there was a very short period for us to ensure that things for that year controls were effective and efficiently implemented. But on the investment, that's an investment that we inherited. We always maintain that money
there is a dire need. Hopefully the CEO will and the CFO will explain to us what that money is for and what we may use it for. And then on the irregular expenditure, in that year of 2019, we had a regular expenditure of, I think, 2.9 million. And then when the committee, the board started working, we brought that 2.9 million down to 130,000 rand for the year because of implementing new policies and also ensuring that all expenditure is tested via the internal audit, quarterly reviews and so on. But that is just a background I'm giving. If I'll just I'm gonna hand over to them. They can just add to that and respond to the honourable members' questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The two questions was what is the nature of the investment that you have that generates so much interest? We invest our money with Investec Bank. We have a call account, and that money is being invested so for emergency cases, and also to offset in times of financial difficulties.
Camera, so please.
Sorry.
Video, please.
Oh, so sorry. Okay, is it okay now? Okay. Let me start from the beginning. The question was, what is the nature of the investment that generates so much interest? We are investing this money with Investec Bank. It's a call account which is there to take us through emergency cases and in areas where there are some financial difficulties. That's all that money is there for. I think that's part one. The second question was regarding the irregular expenditure. This irregular expenditure is part of our inherited contracts that we are sorting out. It was as a result of Xylem, which was appointed as a sole service provider. When there was a problem with our aging infrastructure, and also our pumps were failing to generate sufficient water. So the issue was to use Xylem as a service provider in the capacity of a sole service provider. However, when the AG comes in, did not agree that sufficient mechanisms were applied. They told us that the entity was supposed to test the market. We should have done the market research to establish that the entity that had done the market research to establish that Xylem was indeed the sole service provider. The challenge is this: when Xylem was appointed, his contract came in with a guarantee to say you shall use us. If you don't use us, you lose that guarantee. That was a challenge number one. A challenge number two: if the entity did not use Xylem, and then that would mean there would not be water for a specified period of time, and yet water supply is a constitutional issue. I think that had to be balanced. And the other issue was, at the time, there was no repairs and maintenance contract in place, so that when you have similar incidences, you've got a service provider who's duly appointed through a competitive and transparent process. However, now we have instituted a fair and transparent process for a short duration. The intention is to have a longer duration. That is where this is coming from. I'm not sure whether you want to add something. Come on. I think that's how far we can go with our answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure. There was one question that I think we missed, Chair. Sister Deborah, did you and Sister will respond to the question about the tariff, the issue of applying for draft tariffs on norms and standards? It was raised by one member.
DM, I didn't quite get to that question. Let me ask Toko, please, assist my darling.
are we having such application for relooking at the draft tariffs to include the ton norms and standards as part of regulating? Because one motor board, you not respond to that question to the member.
Yes, DM, I think it was raised by Honorable Mahala. Apologies for not responding to it.
Give Mahala a sister.
Apologies. DM, currently our norms and standards were approved in 2002. Currently,
you on camera, Sis Toko?
Apologies.
Camera, please.
Oh, camera. Proceed. Thank you, Chairperson. Our norms and standards were approved in 2002 as part of the section of the 11 of the Water Services Act. They do not include the drought the tariff, but we have revised the norms and standards. They are currently in circulation. And the current one, which are draft, includes the drought tariff. But some water boards are already implementing with clear motivation. Minister has got power to approve if they do motivate for the drought tariff. Thank you.
I think, Chairperson, from our side, We have responded. Safe to say, with the irregular expenditure and the other wasteful and fruitless expenditures, the leadership there must take decisive action. It's not adequate to say they couldn't get the required quotations in law. Like we said in the earlier session in the morning, our attitude is that there must be compliance with the law. And when there is no compliance with the law, action must be taken. And we could not be able to say we shouldn't do that. The issue that there are certain water boards that are being still owed by the department, and the matter was raised by Sedibeng Water, I'm not sure the other water boards. I would request that our acting DG, Sister Debra, and the CFO, they look at this matter very urgently and pay, and then they must pay, and we should be able to continuously update the committee on the debts that we owe ourselves, because ourselves have an obligation. We cannot be able to say all the municipalities, Chairperson, must pay when we don't pay. But as the team indicated, there was support like we promised in the past, and Sedibeng Water did manage to take that a relief that we had to provide in the short term for those four water boards, but they are the one that did take that particular relief. Well, we should have a discussion probably going forward, Chairperson, on the debts that are being owed, because some of these debts, looking at the state of the water services authorities, we are getting a lot of pressure not to stop the supply, but equally so, it's not sustainable. If you look at how much is being owed by Machabeng and the other municipalities, it's unacceptable, it's very high, but those municipalities have really totally collapsed, and we are trying to spend more time even as champions that are deployed in Free State. Despite the challenges of Sedibeng and others, I'm very pleased, Bab Mashiko, just to report through you, Chair, when I was in Maluti in Kwakwa, the work that they are doing on the Sterkfontein, the treatment works there that is being upgraded, is very beautiful, back on track. They are doing well, but there have been some disruption by either Amatelang or Bona, and the other issues that were happening that side of Harrismith and others. But we are keeping an eye on it. And we are also very pleased that in terms of governance. Umhlatuze, they are leading the pack. Clean audit is not a small issue. Your concern, Chair, about our ability to provide oversight and to ensure that our early warning system, they actually are in place and we intervene timely. An example you raised, the issues of audit remedial action plan. As a ministry, we'll come closer to that so that our oversight model is much tighter and the intervention is mostly timely. Lastly, I hope that one day, Mashiko and certain members, there are a lot of these atmospheric water solutions. They are small scale, but very, very helpful. And I hope one day we'll find time when the situation has stabilized and the regulations, the COVID is under control, so that we can be able to visit some of these innovations, because we must promote our own South African solutions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, GM.
On our question.
Honorable Musala?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm saying Mkhatuze did not respond. Mkhatuze, the board.
Oh, we couldn't hear any question on them. But let them respond, Chair, with your permission. If there was an oversight, we must apologize. And you forgot Musala to thank them for clean audit.
Thank you, Chair and DM. Let's respond to the question on the irregular expenditure which we disclosed in the year under question. Chair, in 2016-17, we went on a tender and we did not advertise for the 21 days as required. Unfortunately, there was a retention amount of 824,000, which was paid in the 1920 financial year, and hence why we needed to disclose the irregular expenditure. The responsible officials were appropriately consequence management, and all have since left the employ of Mshatuze. So we now have systems in place and controls in place to make sure that this does not happen. However, it's from prior years, and unfortunately we have the outstanding retention that we needed to pay from that irregular contract, and hence why we needed to disclose it. I hope this answers the question raised by Honorable Mashala. Thank you, Chair.
But we'll have to add that thing, Acting CE, that we have a consistency on the question where certain laws have not been followed. If there is someone who brought us into that situation, they must be followed through to account. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, dear. Any follow-up question on members before we close? I don't see any hands. I think, DM, we want to let's appreciate the presentation and the commitment. So there is a hand. I don't know where it comes from. Who's raising hand?
Mr. Mashiko.
Oh, Mr. Mashiko. Mr. Mashiko. Mr. Mashiko. Mr. Mashiko.
That I'm saying, this load shedding thing in Bushbuckle is a problem. It is very comment where and I can see Mashaba is answering but responding to the Mkhatuz and Overberg, whom we do not have a problem with. Specifically on Sidi Beng, is the are we hearing you to be committing about Mashaba that you think that Sidi Beng can still make it? You want to keep it as an ongoing concern because they are capable. You think there is a plan in question in place that makes you comfortable that you can live with them? Because to me, even in their own presentation, that confidence of a living organization, I don't get a sense of it. But look, you are working with them on a daily basis. It might be that there is a plan that convinces you that this is a company you can live as an ongoing concern. There is a plan we believe that can change the situation. If that is the case, let's hear it from yourself. Then we at some point you will have to ask yourself as a non-since the situation does not change. But I think we must appreciate all others, especially the Mkhatuze and the and Overbeck, they are doing well, we agree. But on Sidi Beng, I'm a bit uncomfortable, but I know that they account direct to you on daily basis. I might be looking it from afar. Please help us.
Through you, Chairperson, I did try to respond, Your Excellency, Comrade Mashiro, in a diplomatic way. Initially I've indicated they remain a going concern, a very serious going concern, and the issues of liquidity are a problem. Remember, just the ability to have money in the bank to be able to deal with certain obligation over a period of 90 days it is a challenge, but they remain an important institution. And the attitude and the view of the department is that this institution will be required even in the future. And they are serving a very unique constituents. They are struggling in three provinces, and they're behaving to have clients, which are water services authorities, that are in a very bad shape. That's why we said it is one of the areas we'll have to come back. There are issues of governance that we have raised. The issues of governance is a question of the stabilization of the board, and the acting DG indicated the matter was considered. There were certain comments that were made by the executives, and we should be able to go back to cabinet through the minister to finalize this particular matter, because it's important that there must be a stable board. Then there must be the stabilization of the executive, which is the administration, so that they can be able to pull out the issues of the turnaround. And I made a reference about the role of the department, about our support role, including our regulatory function. One of the example leadership I had to refer to was the matter that Her Excellency, our chairperson, has raised. If we do receive audit remedial action plan and the situation continues, then it becomes the question to say, what should we do? And I said it's one of the issues that we need to strengthen even internally. Then there are bigger issues that we must engage, especially with the province of Free State and the province of Northwest in the main, especially those municipalities that are owing them. Those are some of the issues, Chair, but you are correct to raise those issues, but Mashiro, very sharply, because at the end of the day, they remain a going concern, despite of their historical issues, but there is a determination to turn it around, and we are very pleased with the Chair. They've tried to work so hard. When there are certain issues, that's why I was making the example of Free State, that despite certain issues, there are areas where they've been our implementing agent and they've performed well. As I was talking about the situation of Stilfontein, that other project they are doing. But without support, Chairperson, I can be able to indicate that they will not survive. but if we resolve those issues of debts owed, one of the things, that's why I'm saying, one of the instructions that we are giving now, I will follow through personally with the acting DG and the acting CFO. They are also even owed by the department, and we are not going to be in a position to say it's right as a department to owe an institution that desperately needs cash so that it can be able to pay, because some of the monies that they are incurring from their obligations, they are servicing interest. But those of us as a state, if we're able to pay all service providers, including Freddie Bay, we should be able to assist them. But let's monitor it, and let's keep it as a matter of the viability of this institution, Chair. Not only this one. Remember the other time we also raised Mahalis. There is also Bloom Water. Then there is Amadole Water. Those are some that when we categorize them in terms of stability, both in terms of governance and in terms of performance, those are the institutions, SOCs, that require our attention, including requiring yourselves to keep a strong and a firm eye on us, that they don't collapse. Thank you.
For the response, Honorable Masala.
Yeah, lastly to the department, when will the concept of regional utilities in respect of water boards be finalized? Thank you.
You can respond, as Toga has responded to it in the previous, let's respond to it, this Toga again.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Masala.
Masala.
Yes. I think the concept of regional water utilities is a policy position that has been approved by Cabinet in 2013, and we remain committed on it. And it's going to restructure water boards and extend their boundaries and gazette new areas and make them to become regional entities, so that we also promote wall-to-wall coverage of municipalities. The main challenge at the moment is that the concept needs to get into the bill. It's already in the bill that is in draft, and once that bill becomes the legislation, then the concept will then be promulgated for implementation. So we are just waiting for the legislation to be passed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Togo and the team. I think, GM, we want to take this opportunity to thank yourselves and the board for availing themselves to interact with us. But it should be, maybe we should clarify the issue of irregular expenditure further, just to say that irregular expenditure should be attached to a person and there must be consequence management. That's the only way that you'll get the Treasury to condone and let's avoid those fruitless expenditure. And if the entity that is under your leadership has got financial challenges, we expect the department to come very close and be part of assisting them even to develop plans to respond to those challenges. And as we, one of the issues that we do is that recommendation of the Auditor General are non-negotiable. They need to be implemented, and we should actually, as department, work with the Citibank to deal with the even recurring audit outcome, and give the plan to address management letter of the Auditor General. The department must participate, and you will be accountable because it's your entity. And we acknowledge that this interim board, since it has come in, it has tried its level best, but you have to work with them for them to be able to come out of the problems that you know and you have attested to. We have because reason that though we encourage that they must appoint the board, but reason that the interim board, to have interim board means that non-performance. It will not be a correct version of the story because Mahalis has got the interim, but they've got a clean audit. So we should make sure that we come very close to Citibank, assist them to deal with issues that are raised by Auditor General, and help them, as Honorable Basho has indicated, for them to be viable as they play a critical role, without undermining the work that the board is doing. But you have to work with them very closely, and the department should then be, as quarterly basis, coming into to report on your performance. Would want the institutional oversight to actually give a report on the feedback on the implementation of the audit outcomes, because the financial management is very key for any entities. So as you come to report, we'll need that information, and how far are you in working with Citibank to make sure that they come out of that problem of financial management. GM?
Definitely, Chair, we are correct. We'll do those things. That's why I agree with you that when it comes to these issues of poor performance or transgressions, we agree that that's the line of march. But you are also correct that as part of as a shareholder, our responsibility to ensure that these institutions are functional and they don't collapse in our hands will actually improve even in the areas of weakness. And you are also correct that to act, it does not necessarily mean that you don't have the fiduciary responsibility to actually get things going. But we also know that in terms of there's been a lot of actually movements there, especially in the administration or executive. You see, Mahali's comrade chair, you find this consistency, because in as much as there's been some changes in the board, but the executive has been very consistent, chair, to have a very strong executive. This thing of revolving doors, Chairperson, you know, even in municipalities, if you have a CEO or a DG or whoever is there for over some time, they master the system and do a very good job. You could see, Umshatuzo is an example here, Overbeck, your Rainwater and others. And these are the things that the minister were working hard just to stabilize, where stabilization has happened, but where wrongdoing has happened, we will act without any fear or favor or prejudice, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, GM, and your team. The meeting is adjourned. Tomorrow we reconvene for 3:00. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Hello, Chairperson, is it 3 or 2?
Two o'clock. I'm sorry, Colissa. 2:00.
Okay, Siyabonga, Chairperson and members.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, Chair. Hey, Mshala, unga kumyoto iza, you stay cool.
Thank you.